The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So last night, the Irish Times disclosed that Dublin's Coombe Hospital had given 16 non-staff members COVID-19 vaccines. They just happen to be family members of staff at the hospital. And there's now a lot of people getting in touch with the programme. We can't verify the claims they're making, but who are concerned about perhaps preferential treatment being given to those in the know when it comes to the giving out of the vaccine. Alan Kelly, leader of the Labour Party, how much of an issue do you reckon this is?
Well, it's hard to verify. I, like you, have received a whole range of people onto me all day and basically all weekend. We've now seen the statement from the Coombe as well as, or sorry, from the Rotunda as well as the Coombe, where family members were vaccinated. So there's obviously issues here, Matt. It's quite clear, more so in some parts of the country than others. And really it shows that from a prioritisation and organisational point of view, you know, we need to, the whole vaccine rollout, the whole process by which it's done, it needs to, it's the most important thing in our country, and it really needs to, you know, be focused in on so much. I raised a whole range of issues on this months ago when it came to logistics, procurement, storage, IT rules, but the whole prioritisation and the whole running of it, I believe one person should have been put in charge of this at government level with the executive power to make decisions quickly. That didn't happen. I think really the focus should be now on prioritisation and ensuring that the criteria by which the vaccine is rolled out and where it's rolled out is absolutely 100% accurate, because we know now that there has been issues where people who are not necessarily priority within healthcare settings have been vaccinated, while I've had, I don't know how many people onto me all weekend who are frontline nurses, frontline doctors. We know about the issue in my local hospital where doctors and nurses had to go publicly and campaign for the vaccine, which is absolutely shameful. So really
and sorry, Alan, on that, you have one of your local rival TDs, Fianna Fáil TD, has actually claimed that he got it sorted out for them, Jackie Cahill. And when he was asked about this, there's an exclusive story in the front of the Irish Daily Mail today, asked if it was appropriate for politicians to interfere in the rollout. He is quoted as saying, "That's the nature of politics. The squeaky hinge gets the most oil."
I saw that. The less said about that, the better. Now, Matt, I'd say he had absolutely nothing to do with it. It should be based on the criteria. Last December, when the prioritisation schedule was put forward, we had 300 or 400 cases a day. We're now, you know, somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 a day. Prioritisation has to be frontline COVID-facing nurses and doctors and those who are healthcare who are COVID-facing. And obviously then, along with that, nursing homes.
Because we've had a lot of paramedics in place saying they're bringing very sick people to hospitals, and in some cases... They're not vaccinated.
I agree. I totally agree. But I've had people on from all over the country to me in this. All over the country. You know, there was a COVID ward inside in St. John's where they got their first vaccine today. Everyone inside are working. I've had them on from all over the country, Matt. Last December, when the prioritisation schedule was set up, we were in a different place than we are now. If we do not prioritise our COVID-facing healthcare workers, then our hospitals, who are going to hit their maximum in the coming weeks as regards cases, because remember, there's always a delay from those who are being diagnosed to the actual amount of cases that gain to hospitalisation. Our hospitals will not be able to stand. They will fall over. I know of several hospitals that are very close to the edge of falling over, and we can't allow that to happen. In fairness to Simon Harris back in March and April, he took the actions. They ensured we didn't have a hospitalisation crisis. The actions now need to be taken as well. But in this scenario, because of the level of infection, we need to protect our workers inside there, because otherwise our hospitalisation will not stay. And I can't say how depressing and worrying it is and upsetting for all of these workers who have been on to me and on to others to see what's gone on in the Coombe, to see what's gone on in the Rotunda, see what's gone on in relation to non-priority workers, and also to see what's going on in relation to some private hospitals as well. Some aspect of the way in which that was rolled out too isn't right. I find it also bizarre, the Rotunda statement, which I just read before coming on air, it has the line in it which says the following: "It must be noted that even if Rotunda staff could attend at short notice to receive the vaccine remnant, the hospital is not approved to administer it." I don't understand that. So are they basically saying that when they have a seventh vaccine left in a vial, that they don't have permission to give it to their frontline staff. That, to me, I don't know, that needs explaining. That's a bizarre statement from the Rotunda, as far as I'm concerned, because the vaccination teams are in contact with me all last week and all weekend, fighting to get as many vaccines out there as possible. They're wasting none of them, but they are prioritising healthcare frontline COVID-facing patients or staff all the time. As far as
okay, stay on the line, Alan Kelly. I want to bring in Sam McConkie as well. Sam, there are some people supporting the hospital saying, why would you waste these vaccines? Another one says the Rotunda vaccine case is nonsense. These vaccines were going to be disposed of and the majority of them went to elderly people. It was just common sense to use them. Another one, though, says down the line, these 16 people at the Coombe will have to be jumped up the queue to get the second shot of it. Shameful and wrong. What do you make of the way these additional doses were doled out, Sam?
Well, I think there's other hospitals that did things better and had a reserve list and realised that there might be some folk on the priority list, you know, that didn't turn up for one reason or another to the scheduled administration vaccine. So there was a reserve list, a bit like, you know, when you used to go flying in the old days, they sold more airline tickets for seats than there were seats in the plane and then had to look for volunteers who wouldn't go. So it's possible to have some people on a reserve list saying, you know, if there's somebody doesn't turn up, you can be in reserve. So
yeah, but hold on, Sam, should those be relatives of administrators in hospitals?
No. Many hospitals had a reserve list of people who are in priority groups, like the vulnerable, the elderly, and frontline healthcare staff. So your reserve list obviously should be from the priority lists, as according to our Brian McGrath's report of which groups get it first. So you create the reserve list in advance, but you populate it with people who are already in priority groups 1, 2, and 3, not those in 16 and 17 rank order.
And that's what seems to have happened, is it?
It certainly happened in some hospitals that the reserve list has been appropriate and has been from extra staff to use all the doses, as you said. And I know we've had these two stories that, you know, things have happened in the Coombe and the Rotunda perhaps that were different from that. But I think many hospitals used a reserve list that was from priority groups. What we're doing is we're trying to use the occupational health and use the skills and the ways of giving vaccine, like pharmacists and GPs and OccuHealth, to deliver vaccines, same as we've done for flu and for other things in the past. The problem, of course, is that there's a supply chain problem. There isn't enough of this vaccine to go around right now. I hope in the next 3 months that will improve, because I'm hoping the AstraZeneca one is going to get licensed at the end of January. The Moderna one, hopefully, is going to get licensed sooner than that. And then there's another vaccine from a company called Janssen that looks quite good, and it hopefully will come for licensing. So I'm hoping in 2 to 3 months, as four companies are producing vaccine rather than one, that this problem will gradually sort itself out with supply chain.
Yeah, a listener says, my wife's a frontline nurse working in a COVID testing clinic. She's still not vaccinated, testing very sick people, especially since Christmas. It's shocking stuff, whoever is responsible. And I'd imagine that is, Sam, what's going to be really irritate and anger an awful lot of people who are putting themselves in harm's way, who are still continuing to work while waiting for the vaccine, to hear others who were not in the top categories getting the vaccination, even if administrators did not want vaccines to go to waste.
Well, I agree with you. I can understand that anger. I would also put in a word for maybe the very elderly living in nursing homes and in residential accommodation, who, as we all know, are very vulnerable to COVID-19, and if they get it, can get very sick and can easily die from it. So getting the vaccines to the very elderly and more vulnerable is particularly important priority in my view, and there are teams now going around the nursing homes and delivering those, thankfully, and I think they should be they're a group that maybe don't get on the radio and phone in as much as maybe some of us who are younger, but I think they're the group that need it most, is the elderly vulnerable.
But Professor Sam McConkie, as an infectious disease specialist, are you worried about reports that are coming from other countries that perhaps for people who are very ill, that it's actually not good to give them the vaccine if they already are suffering from very serious illnesses?
If people have an acute febrile illness, then you're better off deferring the vaccine. But if it's something like a chronic disease, you know, like maybe heart failure or irregular heartbeat or kidney failure or dialysis or, you know, having HIV or being immunocompromised or having cancer or chemotherapy, then I think those people will benefit from the vaccine.
OK, Alan Kelly, I want to go back to that Irish Daily Mail story, because the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, also featured in it. And he publicly said that he intervened to get vaccinations for paramedics in the Dublin Fire Services, that he made representations to the HSC and Minister for Health. Is that not appropriate, given the job those people do?
I don't have enough information, but I believe the politics shouldn't be involved in getting vaccinations, full stop. I think Dublin Fire Brigade are probably should be a priority, given the role that they do. But I feel that politics should not in any way have, and for actual TDs or ministers or senators to go and start claiming credit for getting vaccine, like, for me, that's horrendous behaviour. We have to follow what is the priority as set out and ensure that those people are protected above all else. Just a couple of things, Matt. Like, inside an ICUs and a COVID wards at this moment as we're talking, there are nurses and doctors working who are not vaccinated. We shouldn't have got to this stage. They should all have been pinpointed. The organisational structure of the HSE, it should have been pinpointed in there, and they should have been prioritised. I spoke to Brian McGrath, very decent guy, very good at his job, has made a huge contribution. But in fairness, he made it quite clear to me when I spoke to him recently. He doesn't have executive power. He can't actually make decisions that are going to be absolutely directed because he doesn't have that power. He's not in that role. So all along here, I believe we need somebody. This is the most important thing in the country. And it's not a job just people saying we need another minister. I don't care who it is. I believe somebody has to be actually in charge of this. There's a whole load of other issues going to come down the line in relation to logistics. As Sam said, in relation to other vaccines coming out, the form of procurement, different storage issues, this is IT issues, legal issues, and also to have one person communicating. Stephen Donnelly has a lot of other stuff going on in healthcare, obviously, in relation to this pandemic and also non-COVID healthcare. One person in charge of this, I firmly believe, is the right thing to do. There'll always be NIARC, there'll always be a committee there. But however, you know, speed trumps perfection, as we've heard so often during this pandemic. And that's why we need one person who's actually going to be in charge of all of this.
Alan, I just want to go back to Sam McConkie on something which I'll come back to you on in a moment. Sam, when we had Pete Lunn earlier in the programme, he said it was slightly outside his area of expertise to comment upon whether it would be appropriate to enforce a firm quarantine on people coming into the country. Doing like what they're doing in Australia at the moment with all the tennis players who are whinging about having to be holed up inside in hotels. But would that actually be a good and proper thing to do? And maybe was it one of the mistakes that we made over the last 10 months in not actually having a rigorous lockdown of people coming into the country?
I would support that rigorous 14-day quarantine. I think it was more important back at the time at Cheltenham. If we had been able to do it at the folk returning from UK, that would have been great. And similarly, if we had been able to do it in May, June, July, August, September, when we'd very low numbers of cases, to what I call keep it low. So at this time, we're in the middle of a tsunami and rising water and a huge health crisis in Ireland. We have to get the numbers down, but keeping them down requires preventing its reimportation. And I believe 14-day quarantine would be helpful part of that. I agree with the previous speaker who was saying that we need strategy, we need high-level political leadership, and we need some centralised executive authority. I think it's a shock to many people to realise that there's no centralised public health executive in Ireland, that it's lots of different groups controlled by different people without a single unifying multi-part strategy for how to keep COVID down. Because the executive, people work for different agencies, some of them are privately, some of them are one part of government, some another part of government. So I think you could have an argument for a new Minister of Public Health or a new Minister for COVID-19 control in Ireland or COVID-19 prevention who would develop that national strategic thinking of how to get it down and keep it down, and then who would direct the staff that do contact tracing, that do testing, and that do all of the preventive activities, including 14-day quarantine. So I do support strongly that idea for high-level political leadership and a single executive authority for national public health, which we certainly don't have at present.
Just to finish with you, Alan Kelly, as leader of the Labour Party, I know the government is concerned about not shutting the border, particularly after all the Brexit stuff of the last couple of years, and wants to protect the common travel area with the UK. But there's a lot of people who are suggesting that the increase over Christmas came, a lot of it been imported, the new UK variant of COVID-19. Where do you stand on the idea of mandatory 14-day quarantine in specific hotels and other centres for people entering the country?
I agree with every single word that Sam said there earlier. I believe that it's time, beyond time. We should have quarantined 14 days. And also, you know, the issue in relation to one person being in charge. Let me just give you another example that's coming down the road. As more and more people get vaccinated, and hopefully in 2 months' time, as Sam said, we will have other vaccines, which will mean it'll be, be rolled out much further. Then we have to think about how we live within the rules, or what rules are going to be created as regards the COVID vaccination strategy, as regards what events can take place, what can't. And by the way, you know, if somebody is vaccinated or isn't vaccinated, there'll be a whole range of issues here as regards flying, as regards attending things and all of this sort of stuff. So there's going to be a whole range of legacy issues which somebody should be in charge of as well. So I'm really firmly saying to the government, please put somebody in charge who has the capacity to deal with this as a singular issue, because it's so important for the country. It would be a minister for possibly a year or a year and a half. I absolutely believe firmly it's not about creating a new role. It's not about it'll be added onto somebody else's potentially, or they'll move aside, whatever. But I believe firmly that at this point, it's so important for everything that we do. It's the most important thing in the country. Surely somebody, one person should be in charge of it, and let Stephen Donnelly deal with other health issues.
Alan Kelly and Sam McConkie, thank you very much for joining us. Listener who says that they're a medical scientist working in a virology department of a hospital, testing COVID positive samples every day, but has had vaccinations cancelled twice last Monday and again Friday. Would have loved one of those available jabs.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.